Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Ryan McGee from ESPN here in just a few minutes. Get his thoughts on Josh Heupel and the hiring at Tennessee. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the latest with the Preds at 8:30 with Terry Crist. And then David Ubben drops by at 9 o'clock. So a loaded show for you here today on Robbie and Rex Road. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee. Ryan, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Oh, David Ubben coming up in an hour. I might just stay on hold and see what he has to say. I usually just copy his notes anyway. So
he's awesome. David Ubben is one of the best, that's for sure. Ryan, what have you made of what's gone on in Knoxville this past week? Obviously, Danny White comes in, the hire from UCF, the coaching search underway, and they end up with Josh Heupel. What do you think of that hire? How, I guess, far down the list do you think he actually was for the Vols?
I don't know. I don't think he was that far down Danny White's list. I think he might have been down the list of you know, people in the building, or certainly – he certainly was down the list of Vol Twitter. Let's just put it that way. But I think that I'll say this though about Vol Twitter, they kind of got neutralized. Like, it was interesting, and I know these are your people, and you wrote that great story about them and all that. But it's it was interesting because they wanted to be super angry, and they wanted to like it, but they all ended up kind of falling somewhere in the middle. And that was it was interesting watching that reaction because. You know this as a Tennessee alum. What happens with me in these things is I have two jobs when news breaks. Like when I woke up Monday morning, Martin Luther King Day, and you know all this is happening. I had two distinctly different groups calling me, and it was work wanting to know what about this, what about this, what about that, and then it was my college roommates and my in-laws and my cousins and all that stuff. You know, asking me, you know, who in the world is Josh Heupel? And me having explained to them who it was, but it's listen, I think that the hiring of Josh Heupel is the perfect illustration of what we have talked about on this show so many times, which is this is who you are right now, and who you are is not Alabama. Again, who you want to be when you grow up right now is Auburn, because that's the goal. You've got to get to a one tier first. Before you get back to the tier where you want to be. And listen, what's the biggest complaint in the last 15 years is quarterback play. Certainly over the last 3 years, it's been quarterback play. Josh Heupel knows how to coach up some quarterbacks. And when people obsess over the win-loss record, particularly that third year, you know, the guy lost both of his starting quarterbacks in back-to-back years. And still, you know, all totaled, you know, lost what all the games by less than 20 points. And was still one of the best offenses in the country. So I get that it's not, you know, amazingly, they were not able to hire Nick Saban away from Alabama. I know that caught some people off guard. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's a bad hire. I don't think it's a flashy hire. But I also think it might be a little bit better than people realize.
Yeah, you mentioned Vol Twitter, right? So you had a tweet about Vol Twitter, which I – And it was so, like, did you have a little bit of you know, reconciliation or something, or what happened?
No, there? They tried. I mean, everybody tried to, hey, McGee this and hey, McGee that. And I had some people that were kind enough to send me, apparently at one point there was a billboard in Fayetteville, Arkansas with like one of these movie poster pop out quotes of me talking about the Chad Morris hire, how it was great. And so I got a lot of that. But it was, I didn't respond to anybody because it wasn't worth it, but I enjoyed watching the back and forth. And, I think what I posted a GIF of, there's this hilarious scene, Mr. Bean, this woman's trying to hug him and he just puts his hand out and hits it. She walks right, her face walks right into his hand. And then they just kind of, instead of hugging, they settle for a handshake. And that's what I said my relationship was with Vol Twitter.
That's a fine place to be,
yeah.
You know. Yeah,
that's fine, yeah. Yeah. It's just do not engage, right? It's just, you know, every now and then you'll pick one ding-dong and you'll retweet them and just to let them know, hey, I'm listening. But at the end of the day, it's not any worth it.
Well, also speaking of them, Danny White, I got to say, I'm not surprised at all because every AD does this, although I guess he didn't have to go out of his way to do the, we offered it to one person, this was the number one choice, et cetera, right. Et cetera. You know, yeah, okay. We all know how it works with the search firms, but Danny White asking for less negativity, that did hit me a little wrong because, and look, the guy's been on the job for a week. He probably hasn't thought a lot about Tennessee athletics, but he needs to familiarize himself with this fan base and what it's gone through, I would say.
Yeah, but I would say that, but I would also say that that is the fan base's reputation now. And even though he was not a Tennessee guy, listen, one of his best buddies is you know, the AD of Florida. And, you know, it's not like he's not, you know, up against you. He's sitting right in the demographic. He's sitting right in the footprint. So, but listen, as difficult, I've had this conversation with, again, my friends and in-laws and my wife and everyone else. As much as it hurts to hear it, the reputation of the fan base factors into the decision-making process for these coaches. It's just a fact. Because no matter where you stood on the Schiano thing, that did real damage in the coaching community as far as why am I going to deal with this? You know, if I pass on this job because I think I might have a better opportunity coming soon, Tony Elliott, then, you know, all things being equal, why am I going to deal with this 24 hours a day? And so, listen, every fan base is passionate. And every coach has the stories about the grandmas screaming at them in the grocery store and all that stuff. But right now, fair or unfair, and in my mind it's probably fair, the Tennessee fan base doesn't have the greatest reputation in the coaching community right now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you talk to coaches, they'll tell you. You know, and I get it. There's a lot of money and there's prestige and all those things. But all things being equal, if I think I've got a chance – at another Power 5 job pretty soon, then it factors into the decision. And I think that's what Danny White was trying to get at. And again, I'm not saying people agree with him or disagree with him, but it is what it is. And I hate it, but it is.
I mean, my counter to that would be if you gave Ohio State's fan base, for an example, this football for 12, 13 years, I understand that Schiano Sunday was a special situation, and so that
the Schiano thing was the stupidest thing that has happened in coaching searches in the last decade, and that's a fact. And it's embarrassing, and it's to the point that it's what other coaches bring up immediately. I stood on sidelines this year and talked to coaches whom I believed had a chance at the Tennessee job, and I know for a fact they stood there. And just kind of said, I don't know if I can deal with that, man. And so I think it 100% factors in. And I'm not saying you're wrong at all. I don't disagree with you at all. But I'm just telling you that it is what it is. And at the end of the day, that wasn't that long ago, the Schiano thing. And so that's still going to factor into these decisions. And people can get mad about that. And people who write for other websites can be mad about that. But at the end of the day, you know, that's who you are right now, and that sucks, but that's what it is.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan, I want to ask you about a guy you're very familiar with, and that is Jamie Chadwell. Obviously did a great job this year at Coastal Carolina, and it doesn't look like he was even contacted about this job with Tennessee. Are you surprised by that? Do you think Tennessee made a mistake by not reaching out to Jamie Chadwell?
I thought he should have been on the short list from the jump. And the reason is because all of that stuff I'm talking about, Jamie Chadwell understands it and he understands the passion behind it and he understands all that because he was that guy. I mean, we've talked about it before. I mean, grew up just north of Knoxville, named his first child after Heath Shuler. His first real date in high school was the 93 Alabama game. And so, this is a guy who understands the passion, and he can look at it with the reasoning that we're, all the three of us are having right now, which is, well, you got to kind of understand because we've all lived it, and Jamie Chadwell has lived it. So that part of it really surprised me. And plus, and I told you guys this, you know, you're going to have some sort of recruiting restrictions. It's just coming. And what's the best way to handle that? Is a guy who can take a one star and coach him into a three star. and a guy can take a three-star and coach him into a five-star, looks for diamonds in the rough, and also, by the way, runs the funkiest offense in college football right now, which will buy you some time while you're trying to build whatever you have to build with one hand tied behind your back. So, yeah, I'm really surprised, particularly with an AD that was coming from the group of five, and Coastal Carolina being the story. You know, that they were the UCF of this year. The fact that there wasn't a whole lot of contact there surprised me a little bit.
So on Heupel, Ryan, like you said, I mean, there are obviously, first of all, this year does have to be at least there's got to be some kind of asterisk, right, because of COVID. I mean, they had 10 opt-outs, things like that. But also, as you mentioned, they've had quarterbacks hurt. I am a little concerned when I see where they're placed and what that program was when he took it over. And, of course, you know, had a great first year, that they would slide in recruiting relative to other AAC schools. But I agree with you. I mean, if you have a great quarterback and you know how to develop them, for one thing, that's very different from the last staff here, and that can go a long way. So what is your – like, when you look at what he did there and what his upside could be, how would you evaluate that?
Well, I really do believe this. I mean, they had a legit Heisman Trophy candidate in the quarterback who suffered a devastating injury. And then they had another quarterback this year that I thought was great, but just couldn't, again, suffer injuries. And so I think that, you know, listen, for folks that don't remember, and yes, I know he was fired at Oklahoma, but he was there a decade before that. And you know, was the guy who coached Sam Bradford to a Heisman. And you know, people forget this because they tripped over themselves against Florida in the national championship game. That offense that he coached, that Sam Bradford was a quarterback on, was the Joe Burrow of their time. I mean, no, it was a 50-point a game offense, and it stayed that way. And even with their struggles at quarterback and their inability to win some of the close games this year, I mean, they still put up crazy numbers offensively, and they did that. So, and here's the thing too is, I like we had Shane Beamer on Marty McGee last weekend, and one of the questions, the new coach of South Carolina, one of the questions we had for him was, you know, how much do you lean on your Rolodex? And he goes, are you kidding me? And this is a guy that's coached for Steve Spurrier, and obviously his dad, Frank Beamer, is an all-time great. And the list of coaches that he's worked with, and that included the guys at Oklahoma, he can call them whenever he wants. Nick Saban was not returning Jeremy Pruitt's phone calls. There wasn't a whole lot of exchange there. The mentor was not calling and saying, hey, you should try this and you should try that. That's not really how that works with the Saban coaching tree. Josh Heupel can call anybody he wants. And I guarantee you Bob Stoops is going to be on campus in Knoxville soon. And all those guys are going to be there, all his mentors, to talk about, you know, what's this and what's that. And I'm in a Power 5 program. What can I do? So I think there's some concern when you look at those things, but I also think that, you know, those first 2 years of UCF, pretty good.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Ryan, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, I look forward to my pop-out quotes about how great Heupel was going to be 4 years from now.
We're crafting the tweet right now.
We'll get that billboard put up for you over the weekend, great. My man.
I need one of those billboards from Fables. I can just put it in my backyard.
just to advertise the whole thing. See you, Ryan. Thanks, we appreciate your time. One of the best in the business, Ryan McGee from ESPN. When we come back, we'll react to some of what he had to say here and maybe give some advice to Josh Heupel along the way as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.